Welcome, Ambassador Bolton.
Glad to be here.
I always enjoy talking to you, and I expect in conversations with people, I'm going to get more from them than they're going to get from me. I always feel like I've accomplished that with you. But I'd like to talk about two subjects. One, the oil situation here in America at this time, and the possibility of adding Iranian oil into the export market. What happens? Well, first, can it happen, and how will it happen if Iranian oil comes into the market?
Well, I think there's a lot of Iranian oil in the markets, in the world markets today. It's certainly the case that the economic sanctions have reduced some of Iran's export. But they have been violating the sanctions for quite some time. They've shipped oil out through the Kurdish regions of northern Iraq. They've had deals with the Iraqi government where oil from the northern part of the Persian Gulf, chemical composition obviously the same, whether it's southern Iraq or southern Iran. So Iranian oil has gone into Iraq and come out as Iraqi oil. They've been mixing it up in a lot of ways. Nonetheless, the sanctions have had an impact. Production is down. But, you know, with oil prices having come down nearly 50% as the Saudis and the other Arabs have not restricted production, even if they signed this deal with Iran tomorrow, even if all the sanctions fell away tomorrow, even if the Iranians did everything they could to get oil out into the international market, I just don't think in the near term it would have that much of an effect on price.
Well, you know, the spread that is talked about by the analyst is they could put 1 million barrels a day into the market. That's the high number. The low number is 200,000 barrels a day. Where are you, closer to 1 million or closer to 200,000?
Well, I'm closer to the bottom because I think that that people have over imagined what the impact of the sanctions has been. I think Iran is not making the world price. I think they're selling at a discount. I think they've got transaction costs, the cost of bribing people to fake statistics and so on. But I don't think their production has been so materially affected that wiping it all off the screen in an instant would change that much. I think it would go up somewhat, but I don't think it would be that big a bump.
Well, have they had the money to actually do remedial work on their production or drill new wells? Or has it been just kind of a stable, take what they can get from their production and not try to increase it?
I think it's the latter. And I think this is why the Saudis, although they had multiple targets when they watched the price fall by half, that Iran was the principal target, or certainly one of the principal targets. Iran has lived hand to mouth from the sale of oil for many years. They've got a lot of domestic programs they have to fund. They weren't putting it into a sovereign wealth fund like the Saudis or the Kuwaitis or the Emiratis.
So they didn't have an IRA.
They didn't have the rainy day fund, exactly. So the Saudis figured the United States isn't going to stop Iran's nuclear weapons program, but we can hurt them economically because they simply will not be able to meet their current obligations when the price of oil drops. And I think one of the things that they have not spent money on and should have invested in upgrading their entire domestic infrastructure for oil. You know, they had begun some new refineries for domestic use, but one of their real problems is that although they've been historically a big oil exporter, they don't have refinery capacity equal to what they need for domestic consumption, especially at the subsidized prices of oil that they sell to domestic consumers.
So, actually, I mean, they're getting market price for their oil, but in no way are they marketing their oil like the Saudis do.
No, I think
Saudis have plenty of refining.
Right. Look, the Iranian oil industry over the past 35 years under the Ayatollahs has become second rate. And it's a good advertisement why you don't let your economy be run by religious fanatics. And they're paying a price for it. Is Iran hurting economically today? Absolutely. Is it because of the nuclear-related sanctions? Only to a very small extent.
So I was watching television, and I'm intrigued by this this old trip across America by Hillary Clinton. It's staged. All of it's staged, and it's, I think, somewhat being ignored by the people that should be paying attention to it. Am I wrong about this?
No, look, I think she felt she had to get her campaign underway. There were too many attacks that were being, that were scoring on her. Her public opinion ratings were coming down, so they had to get started. But they really don't want her to say very much. I mean, I think their conclusion is the more she says, the more contest she might have in the Democratic nomination race or certainly in the general election. I think they're hoping for basically to get the nomination unopposed and then to turn the huge amounts of money that they will raise for her campaign or super PACs and related organizations, then just dump that on whomever the Republicans nominate and hope they can overwhelm them in November of 2016.
You don't think a Democrat's going to show up?
Well, I think this, and this is probably a minority opinion to say the least, but I think if her numbers in the polls show her more and more competitive or even beginning to lose to Republicans. I think the Democrats don't have a plan B at the moment, but I don't think all of them are lemmings either. And if they see that it gets more and more likely she would actually lose to a Republican next year, that might bring other Democrats into the race, and it could get more competitive, but it won't until that point.
Well, I've got one that's back in the wings that I think is just waiting to get into the race, but she has to vacate. And I'm not so sure she'll go all the way to the finish line on this deal.
Well, I think this is something that she and her husband will go to the wall for. It's been her ambition for a long time. You know, Hillary and Bill were a year ahead of me at Yale Law School, and I'm not saying we were drinking buddies because we weren't, but it's a small enough place. I've known him for a long time, and I think they've been an extraordinary political partnership over the years. Her ideology and his practical political skills, they're desperate to get back to the White House. So they may have to carry them off the stage, but they're not going to leave voluntarily.
Okay, so you say she does go all the way.
Well, I think she's certainly going to try to. Now, my guess is, if I had to bet today, she'll get the Democratic nomination, but she is beatable in November of 2016.
I agree. I'll put money up.
Did you have a Democrat you think is going to run against her?
Not yet. No, I don't think the Democrat I have is going to run against her. He will only show up if she decides that she doesn't want to do it.
I think there are more.
And that's John Kerry.
You know, you took the words out of my mouth. I think there are a couple of Democrats who may yet get in. I don't think Biden has given this up, and I certainly don't think Kerry has given it up. And it's been one of my merit badges over the years that both Biden and Kerry have thought that my actions cost them Democratic presidential nominations. Now, they're both wrong. Because I didn't nearly have that influence. But they both think that, and maybe I can help them out again.
Republicans have the House. They have the Senate. We've won. If you look at the state, what's happened in the states, it's incredible that how the Republicans have won there, too.
Right.
And all of that is caused, I think, by bad decisions.
Yeah. Well, this is the turn, then, to get the presidency, because I think Hillary would be running for Obama's third term. I think she has not distanced herself from him in any material respect. So if that's the case, I don't think the public's ready for Obama's third term. That's how a Republican wins.
Okay, now let's switch again. We act like we have ADD, but we have a lot to talk about, and I want your opinion on. Okay, we're back to. What are you going to tell the Republican candidates, not just the presidential candidate, but we've got others too? And do you think the Republicans are going to gain seats or lose seats?
Well, I think national security ought to be at the center of the 2016 campaign. I think the country needs a debate about our national security policy. I think the president's been badly wrong. I think Hillary would simply go in the same direction. But we need to get Republican candidates, and you're right, not just at the presidential level, but Senate and House and even at the state level, who understand the relationship between national security affairs and domestic policy. And I've always thought that energy was the best example of that interrelationship. If you're pursuing ridiculous policies at home in terms of access to our natural resources, facilitating the exploitation and development of those resources, use domestically or exporting them, things like the Keystone Pipeline, then you're going to have a much more difficult situation internationally. And similarly, if your international posture is weak, if you're not able to protect our friends and allies and are too reliant on external sources of energy that don't have America's best interest at heart, we're going to be weaker domestically in the economic sphere. So I think we're past the point where there's some big difference between domestic policy and foreign policy, and whereas the president believes you don't have to pay attention to foreign policy, I think they're related. I think energy shows that beyond debate.
It's incredible what's happened to us on energy in America.
Yeah.
I mean, you look back 10 years ago, nobody could have predicted what's happened. And now you can easily be energy independent, but you're going to have to shift some fuels around.
Yeah.
But you can't, you know, using 18 million barrels of oil a day, and you're importing 8 million. It's about what it is. But now you've had the price of oil drop, and there's no question who dropped the price of oil.
Right. And the issue is whether we're going to sort of live with that by imposing restrictions on ourselves here at home and by the way we treat Canada and Mexico. Obviously, they're separate countries. They've got very different circumstances. But all of these hydrocarbons we have here in North America are in a very different political risk situation than everything in the Middle East or what comes out of Russia. And I think we need to take that into account.
I do too. But if you know, you're looking at what's happened here, focus on one thing. Is the rig count. You've gone from 1,609 rigs drilling for oil to 700, and that's all happened in 4 months. So you are going to hit, you, I think, have peaked now. Oil that has gone into storage, you will start to draw maybe next week. Certainly, you'll be drawing in May. And once you start to draw and 700 rigs running, then you start to decline.
Yeah.
And when that happens, the price of oil will start back up again.
Right, and then the rigs will come back on. I mean, we have...
Where will they come back on?
Well, I think some will come back on domestically, but I think, as you've observed before, we're the only country that doesn't decide what its production is going to be by government decision. We decide by the force of the market. And that gives the Saudis and others an advantage. But I think the price long term is bound to go back up. I think that's...
Now, why do you say it gives the Saudis advantage?
Because they can decide, that since they own the oil in that country, they can decide which direction they want the price to move in. We respond to it. They help set it.
Yeah, but you saw what they said very quickly when the price started to fall. They said, we will not cut.
Right.
Okay, that's the first time they haven't tried to stabilize.
But that's because I think they had geopolitical objectives in mind. They wanted to go after Iran. They saw that Russia would have the same problem. They live hand to mouth on their oil revenues. The Venezuelans, same thing. And they figured it would require us to cut our rig count, too. So it was like a threefer or fourfer for them. But I do think their main objective was to do something about Iran.
Well, they have no question... They've passed us swing producer. they have abandoned that role, I think, and they are going to maintain price. But I think there may be a place in here they would cut, but it won't be. They don't want it identified that they're going to stabilize the market or and all. But they want us to do that. They want us to be the swing producer.
Yeah,
and we are. For the reasons you said, market forces, it is a free market in the United States. And yeah. If you got too much oil, it'll get cheap pretty quick.
Yeah, but I think you could see some changes in consumption patterns. For example, in Europe, if we allowed the full export of our oil, even at reduced prices, I think a lot of countries in Europe...
Why would we export at reduced prices?
Well, I think at the prices they're at now, if we... took off the statutory restrictions that still exist. Countries in Europe, to see an alternative, even if there's no price differential, to buying from Russia or buying from the Middle East, would love to be able to buy from us. So that I think in difficult circumstances, we would then benefit. The same would be true in Asia, Japan, South Korea, Taiwan. We would benefit in eliminating these restrictions, even if the price now isn't enough to get a lot more rigs back on, because the time will come when it will work that way, and we would have a strategic alternative both economically and politically for our friends to be able to take advantage of.
Absolutely, if we're smart enough to capitalize on it.
Well, that's a big if, I grant you. But that's why I think energy should be a big part of the 2016 debate. I think there are a lot of good ideas out there. We haven't debated energy except really the Keystone Pipeline.
But how many people that are in this race, for Republicans, for instance, how many we got in there now, 10 or 12?
More than that, probably 20, 24, who knows.
Okay.
Goes up
how
every
many
day.
Of them can talk about energy?
I'm not sure. I really don't think as many as should be able to. I think you've got a lot of candidates from Texas or have Texas roots who might have some background in it. But I think the average American, this is why energy to me is so important. Everybody fills his or her gas tank up once a week. They're all sensitive to the price. Mm-hmm. They know it. If they're a small business owner, it's a cost to their production. So this is something that does grab people's attention. It highlights this interrelationship between domestic and international policy. And I think a candidate who doesn't have command of these issues is somebody we really should shy away from.
Well, if you look at last year, 14, and that's when the price of oil started down, that really something that everybody missed was demand. At the first 14, demand was going to be up 1,450,000 barrels. And they kept scaling it down. And then by they got to the end of the year, lo and behold, demand was only 660,000 barrels. So it's almost 1 million barrels under what you thought. Well, then you saw what 1 million barrels of oversupply would do to the market. It just killed the market. And so there you went off. You said, well, China slowed down. No, China, they held firm. The place that demand fell was Europe, Japan, and demand in the United States wasn't that good.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a reflection of the weak economic recovery worldwide. I think the Europeans have their own troubles with Greece and their currency, but their economy has been sputtering other than in Germany. That's been strong. The rest of the continent's been weak. I think the Chinese, just by being flat or a lot weaker than people expected, so that the projections of demand were wrong. And I think the United States economic recovery has been historically weak. So I think there could be economic trouble ahead. That could play right into the 2016 election.
Well, it's going to be an interesting one coming up. I'll put my money on whoever the horse the Republicans decide to ride over Hillary.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't be hard to do, assuming they can avoid making the mistakes that they've made in so many previous elections. But we'll have to see how that goes. That's why I'm still thinking about it. But it'll be a long route to the nomination.
John, you and I both have heard, and we've talked about it a little bit, whether the Russians are fueling the environmental movement in the United States. Do you think there's anything to that?
Well, nothing surprises me. They're probably fueling a lot of movements in the United States. They've done
that
historically.
Well, where are they getting the money?
But, you know, as the price of oil drops, their ability to engage in that kind of propaganda diminishes. They've put a lot into it. I think a lot of foreign governments are trying to influence American opinion. Unfortunately, we've got enough people here in this country with bad ideas that there's plenty of money to do that.
It just amazes me because I never think about putting any money in Russia to influence some political outcome. And apparently they think the United States is vulnerable and opportunity is there and
well,
all.
Well, they've got PR people and lobbyists who are able to convince them that if only the Russians hire them, everything will be fine. I don't know what their persuasiveness is, but they seem to work.
Well, years ago we ran some ads and we showed what could happen to the United States. It could happen and has happened in Europe. Is when the Russians decide to cut the gas off, they can turn the lights off in Europe.
Yeah, and I think that's important to explain to the Europeans, but to explain here in America too, that this is interrelated.
Oh, we think the lights will be on and the water will always run. But I had Gazprom come to see me when we ran those ads, and they said, "We don't like the one where you cut off the lights in Europe." And I said, you don't like it? What do you want to do?" And they said, "All I got was a call. This guy's based out of Houston. He said, I got a call from Moscow and said, would you go see if you can make contact with this guy and get him to cut that ad off?" And I said, "How much will you pay for me to cut it off?" They said, "We'll not give you any money."
Well, see, maybe that shows there isn't a lot of Russian money in the game.
That's right. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Boone.
Sure.
Glad to do it.